We have, to start the day off, the case law update part due. We have Linda Secord, who is board-certified administrative law, solo practitioner, recent retiree from the Attorney General's office, and a graduate from the UT School of Law. Joining her is Karen Watkins, graduate from Baylor Law, currently with the Office of the Attorney General and board-certified civil appellate law. Thank you, ladies.
We're back. For those of you who were not for those of you who weren't here yesterday, remember our disclaimer. I was an AAG for 39 years. Karen is one now. We are not speaking for the office, representing the office, stating the opinions of the office. Do not construe it that way. I'm going to click this and hope that we get to Karen's case.
I'm going to do a couple of other things first. We got a couple of questions yesterday about our paper. Our paper came in late because I was in trial last week, but you can find it in your electronic briefcase. Madison tells me the best place to do is look materials by section, and you should be able to find it there. The other thing I wanted to mention, I mentioned this yesterday, the administrative and public law section, which co-sponsors this seminar with UT, is having council elections today. If you are physically present, you can go out to the table, not the registration table, but the table immediately next to it. There are ballots out there that show the slate, and you can vote for or against. Please sign your ballot so we can verify you're a section member. For those of you who are doing this online, you can email me your vote. My email address is karen.watkins@oag.texas.gov. Okay. Our first case today is McMorris, and we really didn't pick it for its mildly salacious facts, but maybe it'll wake you up this morning. McMorris versus Texas Medical Board. This case arose out of a situation where a fertility specialist was working with a number of families who were infertile who had agreed to have insemination with the sperm of anonymous donors. Unbeknownst to them, or at least some of them, the doctor was using his own sperm to inseminate them, which they found out about many, many, many years later. And they lodged complaints against him. A couple of them lodged complaints against him, and he raised the defense of statute of limitations. Because in the occupations code, there is a provision that says the board may not consider or act on a complaint involving care provided more than 7 years before the date on which the complaint is received by the board, unless the care was provided to a minor. That provision is a standard of care provision. So in the agency's rules, they have a rule and standard of care that says exactly the same thing. But there is another provision of the rule that says other violations. There is no statute of limitation for the filing of complaints in relation to any other violation, including action by another state licensing entity or criminal conduct. So this case is notable for you all when you're making or defending rule challenges because the court concluded that the other violations section was the one that applied to this particular kind of conduct because the complainants really weren't complaining about the quality of the care that they received. They were complaining about being defrauded as to the source of the sperm used. And so the court said, the second provision of the rule concerning other violations is valid because adopting a rule that makes explicit and implicit distinction contained within the relevant statutory provision is consistent with the board's authority. So that's another area in which agencies can make a rule without exceeding their statutory authority. They can just make clear a distinction that's inherent in the statute that authorizes them to enact the rule. So that's the McMorris case, and I'll turn you over to Linda.